I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I want to start by saying what a joy and a delight it is to be here for this wonderful occasion. First and foremost, of course, it's the sixth Sunday of Easter, and we're still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but also because today is I'm receiving communion for the first time. And that is a lovely celebration. I say to the bishop, it's a pretty rare thing. In fact, this is the only time that I have been present for baptism and a First Communion celebration. It just doesn't happen that often. So I just, yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And thank you for having me be here for this. And so we have the sixth Sunday of Easter, and we have First Communion celebration, and we have some readings in which the Lord is speaking to us as always. I always think it's important. One of the things, prayers that I say at the beginning of the service before we come in is, I pray that the Spirit will open our hearts to hear the word, and so that we might receive in the sacrament and have our lives transformed in Christ by the power of God's Spirit. And I think that that's such an important thing for us to remember when we are listening to the readings. We're not just hearing a nice little snippet or something, or something that's meant to entertain us. We're meant to be hearing something that changes our minds and our hearts and draws us nearer to God, changes us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And as I was pondering this set of readings, you know, at first glance, you might think they're pretty disparate, right? We have this story of Paul, and okay, just a little humorous comment. When I was in seminary, this reading was read at evening prayer one day, and the young lad who read it, who was just a couple months younger than me, but that makes me able to call him the young lad. The young lad that was reading it apparently didn't know how to pronounce the word Macedonia, and so he said, a man from Macadamia. And we thought it was a little nutty. Ah, so there's the joke for this morning. Sorry. It was a great moment, though, the man from Macadamia. But he's not. He's from Macedonia. So we have that story, and they go across, and they go on a little sailing trip, and they end up in Philippi, where Paul goes out and finds a place of prayer and preaches the word, and we hear of Lydia. Lydia, the dealer in purple dyes, which means she's rich, because purple dye was extremely, extremely expensive in the ancient world. And then she is baptized. She becomes a Christian. She's baptized, and she invites Paul and those with him into her home. If you have counted me worthy, come and stay in my home. And then we have that second reading from Revelation, which is the beautiful image of the New Jerusalem, what we, you know, it's the image of heaven, symbolically, allegorically, perhaps, spoken about. And it's got this beautiful stuff. And some of the things that are the most striking is, you know, Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? It's the city of the temple of God, right? In the book of the Bible. But what is the first thing this reading says? It says, and there is no temple. There is no temple. Why is there no temple? Because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. They are present, and we see face to face. We see face to face. And there's no need of light, because the light, the Lord and the Lamb are the light and the lamp of God. It is this beautiful picture of the dwelling intimately, so intimately with God. There is no need of a temple, because God is the temple, and we dwell in God. And then finally, that beautiful reading from the Gospel of John, in which Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, but I give it to you. And we might want to say, well, what does that mean, the peace of God that's not like the world gives? But also in the same story, also in the same speech by Jesus, he says, for my father, I will come to you, and my father and I will make our home with you. So did you hear the beautiful little thread that the Spirit gives us this morning? In the Acts of the Apostle, Lydia becomes a Christian and she invites the church into her home. In Revelation, we're told that in the Great Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem, God is the home in which we dwell, the temple and the presence. And in the gospel reading, we are assured by Jesus that in faith, God, the Father and the Son, Jesus, by the indwelling of the Spirit who will come, makes God's home with us, with us. And there's a word that addresses that, and that is, well, in Greek, we might use the word koinonia. Some people translate it fellowship. I find that a little weak. The actual better word for koinonia is communion, which is really lovely for a first communion celebration, is it not? Because we call it communion and we get so used to that word that we forget that the heart of the meaning of that word is dwelling with God. And as we receive the sacrament, God in Christ renewing God's dwelling within us. That every time we come to receive communion, we are saying yes to the presence and power of God. Not just saying, yes, I believe, that's important, absolutely, it's a first step, but yes, I receive you. And to use an expression, I don't know if everybody grew up, how many of you grew up with the expression, you are what you eat? Yeah, usually it was your mother saying, don't eat the junk food, you are what you eat, right? Well, in this case, we are what we eat. We are becoming. We are the body of Christ, and we are becoming the body of Christ, both at the same time. We are the body of Christ because that's what God has given us by grace, but we are also becoming because, well, God hasn't got all of us yet, right? God hasn't got all of us yet. So we are becoming, we are being changed. When we come forward, we don't just get our own little thing. We are actually being challenged and invited into a life-changing transformation where God, by the power of God's Spirit, is changing our hearts and our minds and drawing us nearer to God's self. God is making God's home in us. Very, very literally and physically, God is making God's home in us. So when you were baptized 10 years ago, you are being united to Christ, and God is saying, by the power of the Spirit, I'm making my home with you. And now today, as you receive communion, you receive in the action of eating, you're saying yes and receiving Christ in you, who makes his home in you. And that actually, people, is what it means at the heart when Jesus says, my peace I give you, but not as the world gives. Because the world, what kind of peace does the world give? The world gives a peace which is, well, okay, let's make a negotiation, you know, we'll stop being hostile to each other, you know, we can be at peace with one another, you know. God's peace is that I am reconciling you to myself, and we will be one, and I will dwell with you, and I will be your peace. Because even if there's external conflict, even if there's external conflict going on, which the world would say, well, then there's no peace. Jesus would say, no, in the midst of it, the Father and I make my home with you, and we are your peace. And this has been the witness of Christians throughout history, who in the face of conflict and persecution and hardship and war, who have, and I'm going to use the word miraculously, in the best sense of that word, miraculously experienced and testified to the power and the presence of God in Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit in the midst of hardship and trouble, have known the peace of the presence of God in their lives. Not as the world gives. This is a peace which passes all understanding. It is this doesn't, it's not that you can't understand it. It is so encompassing that there is no way to comprehend it. It isn't about an item given. It's about God giving God's self in Jesus to us. Now, I'm going to touch briefly on a thing which I know is a trouble for St. George's, and that is the issue of a home and a building. And I want to I hadn't actually thought about doing that till literally as I was thinking again about this, and I thought, I'm going to talk about this. Because this is not going to be a report or details or anything else. I'm just going to say we're in the midst of doing some really interesting, right, Shola? Interesting. It's interesting. Yes, that's the word we use, interesting. Yeah. Because we don't want to get our emotions going in the wrong kinds of ways. It's interesting. But here is the beautiful thing, that in the midst of these struggles and wherever we end up at the end of it, you are already home. You are home because you are together in Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit dwells within you and amongst you. You are the home to which people come when they are drawn to St. George's. You are the home that God is making with us. You are the home. And any place, the place where we end up as a building in which to live, will be the home of the home. It will be the home of the home of the people of God who are St. George's Parish. And I have to say, every time I come here, every time I come to be with you, not just here, wherever it's been, one of the great gifts of St. George's is that you have that deep sense of belonging together as a people. And that is more than just, you know, good church practice or a good strategy for church growth. That's all secondary, really. What it is becoming who God is making you to be. And there is nothing better than that. To become what God is intending you to be brings the peace which passes all understanding. It is to become that tabernacle, that place. No temple needed, because you are the temple, because Christ by the Spirit dwells in you. Christ by the Spirit dwells in you. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Of course, it does come with a little challenge too. I mean, the other side of it is that Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. That wasn't in today's reading, I know. Went ahead a little bit here. It's kind of a Pentecost-y moment. But Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So as Jesus and the Spirit and the Father dwell, the Holy Trinity dwells and makes you a home, at the same time, God is calling you to allow yourselves by the Spirit be the instruments by which you make a home with others and draw them into the love of God, by which you invite and draw them in and say, come to this new life. Come and receive and take into yourself the one who is the source of all things. Come and be fed in the real life of God. Come and receive the peace which passes all understanding. And so today, we get to celebrate a first communion, but a first communion for one person that reminds us all that God has made God's home in our hearts and in our midst, and calls us to invite others to come and make their first communion, allowing God to be at home in their hearts. And as we pursue that, we know and trust that God will indeed give us the peace which passes all understanding. And so we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, make your home amongst us anew. Amen.